This one must have been very brave, or very desperate, to stalk in full sight of the house. Looking more closely, I thought perhaps it was the latter, for he was young and terribly thin. At first the magpies didn't notice, but then the one on the terrace, more observant than the others, registered the shape of the predator easing its way towards them, and it flew up from the icy flags like a rocket, chack-chacking its alarm, the warning loud and clear in the morning quiet. The fox had no hope after that. The other birds took to the sky one by one, until at last only one was left, sitting on the yew, safely out of the fox's reach, and like a stream of molten gold, it slunk back over the grass, low to the ground, leaving the solitary magpie on the branch, crowing out its triumph. One. One for sorrow. But that's impossible. I will never feel sad again, in spite of everything, in spite of the storm that I know is coming. As I sit here in the drawing room writing this, I can feel it, my secret, burning me up from the inside with a joy so fierce that I think it must sometimes be visible through my skin. I'll change that rhyme. One for joy. One for love. One for the future. Chapter 1. The girl leaned rather than walked into the wind, clutching the damp package of fish and chips grimly under one arm, even as the gale plucked at the paper, trying to unravel the parcel and send the contents skittering away down the seafront for the seagulls to claim. As she crossed the road, her hand closed over the crumpled note in her pocket, and she glanced over her shoulder, checking the long, dark stretch of pavement behind her for a shadowy figure. But there was no one there. No one she could see, anyway. It was rare for the seafront to be completely deserted. The bars and clubs opened long into the night, spilling drunk locals and tourists onto the pebbled beach right through until dawn. But tonight, even the most hardened partygoers had decided against venturing out. And now, at 9:55 p.m. on a wet Tuesday, Hal had the promenade to herself, the flashing lights of the pier the only sign of life, apart from the gulls, wheeling and crying over the dark, restless waters of the channel. Hal's short black hair blew in her eyes. Her glasses were misted and her lips were chapped with salt from the sea wind. But she hitched the parcel tighter under her arm and turned off the seafront into one of the narrow residential streets of tall white houses, where the wind dropped with a suddenness that made her stagger and almost trip. The rain didn't let up. In fact, away from the wind, it seemed, if anything, to drizzle more steadily as she turned again into Marine View Villas. The name was a lie. There were no villas, only a slightly shabby little row of terraced houses, their paint peeling from constant exposure to the salty air. And there was no view, not of the sea or anywhere else. Maybe there had been once, when the houses were built. But since then, taller, grander buildings had gone up, closer to the sea, and any view the windows of Marine View Villas might once have had was reduced to brick walls and slate roofs, even from Hal's attic flat. Now, the only benefit to living up three flights of narrow, rickety stairs was not having to listen to neighbours stomping about above your head. Tonight, though, the neighbours seemed to be out, and had been for some time, judging by the way the door stuck on the clump of junk mail in the hall. Hal had to shove hard until it gave, and she stumbled into the chilly darkness, groping for the automatic timer switch that governed the lights. Nothing happened. Either a fuse had blown...